All right, welcome in, welcome in. You are listening to WMUC-FM Radio. I am your host, Jack Wynn. You are listening to Winning Time, one of the most prominent sports talk shows in all of College Park Radio. You know how it is. We have a great show for you today. In a special time slot, not used to it. We're usually on Saturdays at noon today, filling in. And very excited to be doing so. As I mentioned, there has been a lot going on in sports over the last week. We had the NFL draft this past weekend. A lot of big NBA storylines. I hope you are ready. I am excited to get started. So, we do have to begin with the biggest headline, the biggest series, the Los Angeles Lakers coming down, being defeated in five games by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it was a great series. People will look at it, you know, in the future and say it was a five-game series. The Wolves dominated them, but most of the games were fairly close. A few possessions go differently, the whole series could end up different. And people say that I have a problem admitting when I'm wrong. I can clearly admit that I was way wrong about this one. I thought the Lakers were going to win the title. I thought that the combination of LeBron and Luka on the same team was too much for teams to overcome. And you can't account for that kind of offense and that basketball IQ that the two of them provide. As it turned out, you can't win a championship with just two players. And the Timberwolves simply outperformed Los Angeles. The Lakers' lack of size reared its head. The Timberwolves were able to take advantage, and Anthony Edwards was unbelievable. Every single time a big play had to be made, every single time the Timberwolves needed a bucket, needed a stop, Ant was there to make the play. And it's moments like that that can elevate you to a higher level of superstardom. Anthony Edwards has been trying to break out the last couple of years. This could be his opportunity, and this series, he now gets to add yet another notch to his belt. He eliminated Kevin Durant last year. He eliminated Nikola Jokic last year on the way to the conference finals. Now he gets to add LeBron James, Luka Doncic to that resume. Anthony Edwards, he has an incredibly high ceiling. And if he's able to just sustain this level of play throughout the playoffs, man, the Wolves are going to be dangerous. We've got more to talk about on that end, but I want to hook back to the Lakers and talk about what it really means for this team. Because when you get in the LeBron James business, every single season matters and every playoff run is incredibly important, because every year is going to impact someone's legacy. You're going to be scrutinized by the media. So when we look back at this season from the Lakers, it's going to be defined by the Luka trade. The Lakers started the season, they were struggling a bit. Anthony Davis was playing well, but they were inconsistent. All of a sudden, they trade their best center, AD, their second best player. People argue he was playing better than LeBron at that time. You send him to Dallas, and you get someone who's supposed to be a top three player in the league in return. And no matter the result of these playoffs, the trade was still unbelievable for the Lakers and terrible for Dallas. I mean, yeah, the Lakers lost, but they're confident that they'll just be back here next season. Luka's going to continue to make them playoff contenders at the very least, and just him alone is enough to make a team at least possible to get to the finals. We saw him do it with Dallas last year. So people are going to look back on this trade and what it means for both the Lakers, LeBron, and Luka. So for Luka, this playoff run went about as poorly as it could have. He had two games where he really underperformed. A couple of his good performances even were, you know, overshadowed by some inefficiency and the turnovers, which were a problem for him. But every single game, even his best ones, it was clear that he cannot hang with these guys as a defender. And it's how the Celtics beat him last year. The Timberwolves literally would just hunt him down and call him up on defensive switches and force him to guard their best scorer, and the Timberwolves would just go to work. You can't stop that, because Luka can't stop it. And if Luka is going to, people think that he has the potential to be a top 10 player of all time. And if he's going to take that kind of leap, You have to be better on defense. You can't be not just a liability, but this much of a detriment to your team. When it's time to win playoff basketball, the teams that win are the teams that defend the best. You'll see. Oklahoma City, they defend great. The Timberwolves defend maybe better than anyone in the league. Boston, one of the best defenses in the league. Those are the best teams. That's how you win championships. And the Lakers, when this trade left them with no real center, and all of a sudden Jackson Hayes is playing critical minutes, and Alex Len becomes unplayable, and now LeBron has to step in at center, it's just a mess. And it's not a recipe to win the championship. And it was staring everyone in the face, but because Luka and LeBron are such big names and are such all-time great players, people were willing to overlook it. But you can't win a title without a big. And it's why a player like Rudy Gobert can go for 27 points and 24 rebounds in a closeout game, and there's just nothing the Lakers can do about it. You need a couple things to win a championship. You need a superstar, you need shooting, you need defense, and you need size. The Lakers were missing at least the size, maybe the defensive end of those four factors. They could not have won the championship, and it became clear as that series went on. All right, now let's switch it up and talk about Minnesota, because it's incredibly exciting for Anthony Edwards and Timberwolves fans. I've talked to a few of them. They're all thrilled. Anthony Edwards is taking a big step. And I remember when he was coming out of the draft, I was higher on him than most. And people are going to be like, how are you higher on him than most? He was the number one pick. And by that, I mean, when he was a number one pick, people were thinking, yeah, he can be a good player, but the draft class isn't that great. He can be an all-star one day. I was saying he can win a scoring title. I was saying he can be the best player on a champion. And that's what he's trying to prove. Now, he's putting himself in that upper echelon of NBA player conversations. He has to be in the same tier as Luka because he just beat him. He has to be in the same tier as Shea. He has to prove that he can go above and beyond to cement himself in those talks, and he can't let it flame out. But assuming he continues to play this way, there's no reason not to. I mean, only Luka has been on two back-to-back deep playoff runs this early in his career. And if Ant is able to do that, that's an incredibly impressive accomplishment that elevated Luka to all-time talks. It at least has to elevate Ant to present-day talks. People online and on sports talk shows that you've seen have started to debate Ant versus Luka, who's the better player one-on-one. And you look at how they've matched up in the playoffs, because people will look at this last series and be like, well, Ant just dispatched of him. Ant was unbelievable. How is it not clearly Edwards? And you have to remember that not even a year ago, Luka did the same thing to Ant in the conference finals, where Luka was playing incredible and Ant was simply burnt out. But head-to-head, they're 5-5 in the playoffs. Luka averages 31-8-7. Ant averages 26-8-7. But Ant obviously makes much more of an impact on the defensive end. So when you ask who's the better player, if you were to ask this question a week ago, it would be definitively Luka Doncic because of what he's proven to us. However, after all we've seen and what we've learned about Luka as part of his player identity is this lack of defense and this almost lackadaisical attitude towards the game, which Nico Harrison feared and which is, you know, what people threw him under the bus for in Dallas. That's starting to rear its head a bit. Anthony Edwards has none of that. He's motivated. He's excited. He plays with a lot of, you know, confidence. And it's great for the league. So it depends on what you want. If you want someone who's going to control the ball, dominate the offensive side of things, then you want Luka. If you want someone to be a more well-balanced player, impressive on the defensive end, quick hands, a good perimeter defender, while also being one of the league's top scorers, you take Anthony Edwards. And Luka's numbers have been better, but you have to wonder, if Ant was as ball-dominant as Luka has been, would his numbers be in that same conversation? Who's to say? So the next thing we need to look at is, are the Timberwolves serious contenders? Because if I pick the Lakers to win the title and the Wolves beat the Lakers in five, should they not then be the team favored to win? And although I would say they're absolutely contenders, I would not say that they should be the favorites. The Thunder should still be the favorites. We've seen Ant struggle versus Shea this year, averaging just 22, while Shea has averaged 35 head-to-head. The Thunder are just such a good team, and they're so well-balanced. I think they do a lot of what the Timberwolves do, but better. However, it will probably come down to Shea versus Ant at the end of games, and whichever one of those two rising superstars is able to step up into that moment will be the one to probably win the championship. So we'll see how that all plays out. I do think the Timberwolves are going to have a really rough series versus probably Golden State next round, because the Warriors challenge you in ways that Luka and the Lakers don't. You're going to have to deal with a much more diverse and explosive offense while also a still very talented defense. So the Wolves versus the Warriors is going to be a great series if it gets to that point. We still need to see the Warriors close out tonight versus the Rockets, which we'll talk more about later. But the Timberwolves have absolutely cemented themselves in title conversations. It would be disrespectful to say that they're not. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Usually I play some sort of commercial or PSA in between. We will get you some of those later. But first, a look at Homesick Location's new album. This song is called Sirens, and we will be listening to it right here. We'll be right back with you for some draft coverage right after this. All right, that was Sirens by Homesick Locations. Give them a listen if you're not familiar with them. They make unbelievable music. They just released a new album. That is one of the bigger songs off the album. Highly, highly recommend. Very talented group. But back to sports. We have a lot still to talk about. The NFL draft was last week. And unlike, you know, most sports shows that you've probably seen, we're going to start with Cam Ward, who was the first pick and deserves to be the most talked about prospect in this draft. he went first overall to the Titans. He's going to join Brian Callahan and that squad out in Nashville. And it's just very exciting for Cam. He has been on an incredible journey. He's transferred schools. He's fought through tough recruiting cycles. He's fought to be a starter. And now he had an incredible season and he's capping it off with accomplishing his dream and being the top draft pick. I'm excited for him. And there was a really beautiful moment, people saw it on social media, of him reacting to getting the phone call. And even though he knew this moment has been coming for months, we all knew he was the first pick. Seeing that kind of emotion and how much it means to him is just so incredible. And it's really part of what makes sports so special. You got to be able to acknowledge and celebrate those moments. So how good can Cam be? Well, he has a very interesting outlook for his career. And here's the thing. He has a lot of upside and traits that remind you of some of the better quarterbacks in the league. His arm angles, his ability to throw on the run, evade defenders. Those are all things that are reminiscent of a guy like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, which is an unbelievable comparison, but they're the ones that they were making on the draft coverage night. That's what they were saying. They were comparing Cam Ward to Pat Mahomes. And although he has some of those traits, that's obviously a high bar to live up to. He also lacks some of the things that make those guys special. And the thing about Cam is he can do a lot of things really well, but there's not a lot of things that make him great. There's not a lot that you can point to and say, that's what separates him from all the other quarterbacks in the league. He's going to have to find that and separate himself just based on his consistency and his play. And that's not a problem. You know, plenty of teams can win like that. Patrick Mahomes, there are very few quarterbacks who can say that they do something better than everyone else. But if he is going to really succeed, especially in the AFC, where there are so many incredible quarterbacks that he's going to have to compete with right away, I don't know. It's going to be a battle for him. I have a lot of confidence in Cam. I think he can be a top 10 quarterback in this league someday if he gets the right support around him. We've seen now, back-to-back seasons, a rookie quarterback win a playoff game for their team and totally surprise everyone. Jaden Daniels this past season, obviously. CJ Stroud right before that. If Cam can be that kind of player and have that kind of impact, then, you know, the Titans can be legitimate contenders going forwards. The AFC South has not been very consistent. And let's talk about the Titans then, because their roster is a little more... They have more talent than I think people realize because they had the first pick. But now you give Cam Ward, just in terms of skill positions, he's got Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, Tony Pollard, Chigakonkwo. That's at least an average skill position group. They're not anything special, but they're also not terrible. You've got some decent alignment. J.C. Latham has been developing. Peter Skoronski is a very talented guard. If the Titans are able to get the most out of those players, then Cam can have some time, maybe establish a running game. There's a lot of upside. They have a lot of talent on defense as well. Don't be surprised if the Titans win more games than people expect. I'm not sure what their over-under win total is this season, but if it's a low number, that could be something that people might be able to get away with. The Titans are going to surprise teams this year. I think Cam is going to give them really good quarterback play off the bat. It's not going to be unbelievable. I don't think he's going to be Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud, but he's going to be a fine player. And if he is, the Titans are going to win games, plain as that. All right, moving on. We can talk about what seemed to be the biggest story from this draft, which, you know, the draft was the Shedeur Sanders special. And I have to talk about the slide because the first round, I was not very surprised by him sliding. I didn't expect him to go in the top three. I didn't expect him to go in the top 10. I thought Jackson Dart had more of a chance of going to New Orleans than Shedeur did, just based on all the reporting. And it became clear what was going on when the Steelers passed on him. And that was when I was the most shocked, because everyone felt like, oh yeah, Shedeur could slide, maybe even all the way to the 20s, where the Steelers are waiting. And for the Steelers to pass on Shedeur Sanders was so surprising for me, Because you look at their quarterback room, it's Mason Rudolph. They don't have a real quarterback ready to go. And for a team that was in the playoffs very recently, has competed every season, you would think that Mike Tomlin would want to go acquire a talented quarterback who could help them win games. So after the first round, people were shocked and people were talking about, well, who's going to trade up to get him in the second round? Here's the thing a lot of people don't realize. Second and third round quarterbacks are rare to be taken. Jalen Hurts is the only real quarterback to be taken and then played after the first round or in the second and third rounds. And here's why. If you're going to go get a quarterback and you think he's a starter, franchise quarterbacks are who you take in the first round. So if you're not taking your franchise quarterback in the first round, you probably don't think he's a starter. And if you don't think he's a starter, you're not going to use a second round pick on the backup. So once Shador slid out of the first, all of a sudden that slide starts to really fall. And he was not going to be picked. And then the Browns passed on him twice. The Steelers pass on him again. And all of a sudden it's the third round and he starts getting passed on. And I realized about halfway through the second round that he might just not get picked. Like, there may just be this agenda against Shador for some reason in the league. Because to pretend that Shador was supposed to go in the top three and has been slighted is unfair, because in most legitimate scouting reports and analysis that I've seen, Shador is not actually that high end of a prospect. He has a lot of concerns as a football player. However, to act like he's not worth a first round pick or a first round talent, he's not a second round talent. Are you serious? Like, he is absolutely deserving as a player of being chosen that high. However, the issues come off the field. And this is something that I raised a concern of mine before the draft. And clearly a lot of teams picked up on it also. As a person, people have had no problem, a lot of fine interactions with Shador. A lot of people say he's very smart off the field. He's a great kid. But there have been repeated stories and problems of him with his teammates. Even now after this draft, we've heard he's been rude to people. There were teammates that he was trash-talking on Twitter after they transferred, talking about, I don't even know who you are. And there's just a lot of that kind of negativity. And then the reports start coming out about how Shador acted at the Combine, which that was the worst thing of all. Because when you find out, or when we found out, that Shador was intentionally tanking draft meetings because he wanted to go to certain places, you can't do that unless you're sure the place you want to go to wants you. And so if you're a team that's debating taking him or coming back up into the first round to get him, and he comes into your meeting unprepared, not wanting to play for you, that's how you slide. That's a mistake. Shador handled this process poorly. He didn't throw at the combine. He didn't meet with a lot of teams. The teams he did meet with, he wasn't prepared for. There were reports about the Giants. You know, his meeting with the Giants went terribly because Brian Daboll had a mistake in one of the plays that he gave Shador to practice, and Shador didn't notice the mistake. So when Brian Daboll called Shador out on it for not noticing, Shador got defensive and mad, and Daboll didn't like it, and Shador didn't like that Daboll didn't like it. That's not showing that you're coachable. That's not showing that you can be an NFL leader and a franchise quarterback. And it's not surprising after all that he slid. So I also do believe that the Browns owner got involved. Everyone seems to think the Browns owner stepped in and said, take Shador. It's the fifth round. And whether or not that's true, the Browns have screwed themselves. And of course they now put themselves in the most confusing and complicated quarterback situation we've ever seen from the Browns. And they've had some rough quarterback situations. Let's talk about what the Browns are doing right now. You have in the quarterback room Joe Flacco, a 40-year-old who hasn't played. Kenny Pickett, a former first-round pick who has not succeeded and has been a backup the last few years. Dylan Gabriel, the player you picked in the third round this year, and Shedeur Sanders, the player you picked in the fifth round this year. Not to mention, all the way in the back, is Deshaun Watson, who's making more money than all of them combined. So, this is a terrible situation. And once again, I'm going to repeat that the Browns did this to themselves. They had Baker Mayfield on a rookie contract. He won them a playoff game. They had one of the best defenses in the league, and they gave it all up. Why? Because they wanted to tie themselves to Deshaun Watson, who was immediately suspended for sexual assault and has been abysmal since then. So the Browns front office deserves this chaos. As for what's actually going to happen and play out, I think Shedeur's going to start. Like, for all the talk we've had, Shedeur is still the most talented player in that quarterback room. If you're going to look at me and say that Shedeur Sanders is not better than Kenny Pickett or 40-year-old Joe Flacco, I'm going to disagree with you. And there's a chance that Flacco starts the season because he's the veteran and, you know, the Browns want to handle things however they want, but Shedeur is going to start. And another reason that teams... Shedeur might be the worst backup in the league. Why? Because this offseason, throughout training camp, all the storylines are going to be about Shedeur. Every time he shows up to camp, every time he makes a big play and talks to the media, it's going to be a story. The fans are going to want him. Wait till he plays in the preseason and looks good or has a couple highlights. People are going to be begging for him to start. And so the Browns just boxed themselves in by making this pick. And it's just a continued representation of what makes them such a chaotic and poorly run franchise. And I wish Shedeur luck. I don't know if it's going to actually mean anything. Speaking of Colorado legends, we can switch sides and talk about Travis Hunter, Shador's former teammate. Travis Hunter was drafted by Jacksonville. The GM traded up to go get him. And I thought it was a great play. I thought it was a really good decision. And James Gladstone, the 34-year-old general manager of the Jaguars, who looks like he could be my age, did a great job. If you think there's a player who's going to change your franchise, you go get Travis Hunter. And people will say that he overpaid. And it's kind of an interesting spot to be in, and let me explain why. If you look at what the Jaguars gave up to go get Travis Hunter, it's about what a team would have given up to trade up for a quarterback. And so it's not worth it to do that for a non-quarterback, is what the analytics say. However, if Travis Hunter is a superstar at two positions and you get two players out of it, then all of a sudden the trade becomes worth it. And it becomes that kind of value as a quarterback. Because if you're getting a superstar receiver and a superstar corner, then all of a sudden you're basically getting two players. It's like picking second and third. And how could you not make that deal? And Gladstone said, because the Jaguars really gave up a haul, he said, you know, we've talked about the bleep them picks mentality. He said he was uniquely qualified to handle it. And it's true. He's worked with the Rams. He's seen how to develop talent and acquire good players even without a bunch of high first-round picks, because he understands that a pick is only as good as the player it turns out to be. So if you get a superstar in Hunter, how is it not worth it? They're going to let him play both sides of the ball, which I think is a great decision, and I'm so excited to watch him play once the season starts, because we have never seen anything like this. He's going to be great on both sides. You look at the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year odds, he is third in both. He's third in both. He is one of the most unique athletes we've ever seen. He's going to play both sides. I can't wait for the games against, like, the Texans, you know, where he guards Nico Collins and then turns around and has to run routes against Derek Stingley. Like, we're going to see some incredible games from Travis Hunter. Every time he has a big performance, it's going to be exciting. And the only problem is I don't know if it's going to lead to much winning, because other than Travis, the Jaguars did not improve much this offseason, and I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. Trevor Lawrence needs to play well this season, or they're just going to be cooked. With that being said, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter are pretty good receivers. Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne are fine running backs. Maybe Liam Cohen, the new coach, can really make an impact, but I don't know. I don't really see it. I feel like the Jaguars are going to have another rough season, and it's going to come down to Trevor Lawrence. They paid him $55 million a season. They gave him the big contract. They took him first overall. He now needs to be the guy to step up. All these other quarterbacks are at least getting their team to the playoffs. He's only got the one playoff win. He's got the same resume right now as Daniel Jones, and that's not a good thing. So maybe Travis Hunter can bring a new attitude to this team, maybe not. Whatever he does do, if they don't win, it's not going to matter. All right, sticking with draft coverage, we are going to talk about the Giants. We're going to have you go get your cup of coffee, maybe a blanket, huddle up, start a fire as we move into Giants Corner. Although, it's pretty hot out today. Maybe, I don't know, you'll have the option to do whatever you want. We'll give you one more quick break. We will be right back with you after this. When we return, we're breaking down the Giants' decision to trade up for Jackson Dart and take Abdul Carter third overall. But first, another song off of Homesick Locations' new album, Better Places. I really recommend giving it more of a listen if you don't get the chance. This one is 1,000 Wishes. Enjoy.
Speech problems. Who's got them? If you're worried about that class presentation, come on down to the Oral Communication Center, or OCC for short. We offer support for students who need help with their communication and public speaking skills. We're based in the Skinner Building in room 2117 from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. But if you need a little help in the afternoon, we're in McKeldin Library Room 2111 after 4 p.m. Go to umd.mywconline.net to schedule an appointment, but walk-ins are always welcome. See you there.
All right, welcome back. I hope you guys have been enjoying the music today. As I mentioned, this is off of the album Better Places, written by Homesick Locations. It is an incredible band, an incredible album. Highly recommend you go listen to it. Featuring my friend Ethan Bauman, did an unbelievable job. Speaking of people who did unbelievable jobs, welcome to Giant's Corner. And for the first time in months, I'm optimistic during this segment. It's where we analyze the recent news surrounding the New York Football Giants, my favorite team, and we tell you why they may or may not be in a good spot. And I think they're in a great spot. Here's the thing. When you draft Abdul Carter third overall, you send a message. You tell the league that we are investing in a pass rush, and the Giants officially have an identity and a strength. You look at this Giants defensive line, how is it not one of the best in the league now? Abdul Carter is an incredible pass rusher with remarkable upside. I do have questions about his consistency because he doesn't have a ton of pass rushing experience in college outside of his incredible last season, but the talent is undisputable, and he's going to bring a new energy to that locker room immediately. And you now pair him with Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, three other first-round picks. It's just going to be an incredible position group, and other teams are going to have to really game plan for that. You can't leave too many of those guys in single coverage. Otherwise, they're just going to get home, and your quarterback's going to have no time. So for the first time in what seems like a long time, the Giants have a real strength, and they have something that can actually help them win games, and I think Abdul Carter is someone who can do that. He asked for 56, and Lawrence Taylor said no, which I got to say, I like the mentality. Worth giving it a shot, right? Like, why not ask? But it was never going to happen. Lawrence Taylor is probably the greatest football player of all time, not named Tom Brady. It would be wrong for anyone else to wear 56. However, Abdul Carter was not the only first-round pick the Giants made. Trading up back into the first round for Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart. And this quarterback sends a message as well. But this one not to the rest of the league. This one to the fan base and to the front office. What trading up for Jackson Dart says is that Brian Daboll is here and wants to build a team in New York. If the Giants didn't take a quarterback in the first round, Dable's job was going to be really on the line. And it may still be. But now that he has a quarterback in the wings ready to come in, who I, by the way, is going to be starting before the end of October. I don't see how Jackson Dart doesn't play pretty quickly. It's not like Russell Wilson is this remarkable player. Dable's going to want to play Jackson Dart pretty quickly. And if you see flashes and the Giants offense starts to look better than it did and all of a sudden things start to really look up, you're not going to fire Daboll even if we only win 6 or 7 games. So he gave himself a little bit of security there. It also resets the story for the entire Giants franchise. They have a new beginning now. NFL teams in this league today are defined by their quarterback. And now that the Giants have drafted their next guy, this is their next guy. Jackson Dart, it will be the quarterback for the foreseeable future. Even if he struggles, he's going to have a couple years to try to figure it out, because that's what you do with first-round picks. And I hope it works out, because the league is better when the Giants are better, and that's not even just because I'm a Giants fan. It's because when you have New York teams succeeding, that's a good thing. I'd say the same thing maybe about the Jets, probably not. I don't like Jets fans, but whatever. Jackson Dart is a very talented prospect, and he has a lot of upside. And I think he's going to get a lot out of that with Brian Daboll. And I think that he can bring a new area of confidence and competence to the Giants offense that they haven't seen in quite a while. The rest of the draft class was very impressive. I was stoked about it as a Giants fan. Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle in the third round, he's like a super athlete. He's going to be a great addition, and again, contributes to that strength I was talking about. The Giants are trying to establish a defensive presence and a strength on the defensive line. He is going to contribute to that. Cam Scadabo, the running back, going to be joining Tyrone Tracy. Again, he used to, you want to talk about identity and strength? Scadabo, when he was younger, used to put on his brother's football pads and run into telephone poles. I mean, what kind of energy is that? I love it. And then Marcus Embiid in the fifth round. People were talking about, all over Twitter, Giants fans were saying, man, I hope we get either Scadabo or Embiid in the fourth round. And we got both of them. So he's going to be a great addition to the offensive line. The rest of the roster, I mean, the offensive line now is the biggest glaring weakness remaining. Because the defensive line is in great shape. The back seven is looking really well with Okereke and McFadden in the middle, with now Javon Holland, Paulson Adebo, Deontay Banks, Tyler Newbin. That's a great secondary. They have good skill position players too. Wandale Robinson, Malik Nabers, Jackson Dart throwing to him. So if you can just get good play out of this O-line, the Giants can compete. The problem is, I don't have faith in the Giants O-line. I think our middle three linemen are going to get exposed most games, and it's going to continue to lead to problems. And the Giants' schedule is rough next year. You've got six non-division games versus playoff teams. What does that mean? It means we have six games versus the Cowboys, Commanders, and Eagles. Those are all tough anyway. Not to mention you've got six other playoff teams you're taking on, and the Niners, who missed the playoffs, are on the schedule also. So really rough look for the Giants, who are trying to just move in the right direction. It's probably going to be a lot of losses again next year, but those losses, the Giants, how the Giants season goes will come down to whether or not those losses make you say, oh, classic Giants, or it makes you say, all right, they can be competitive. All right, we're going to take another really quick break, listen to one last song off of Better Places, and when we come back, we are playing a game that I call In Playoffcations, where we talk about the NBA and where we're headed, and then we will do another segment on the draft before we wrap up. 15 minutes left in our show. I hope you enjoy this song. This one's called Since You're Gone. Enjoy.
You're the best thing I've ever found.
All right. That was Since You're Gone by Homesick Locations, written by my friend Ethan Bauman, from the album Better Places. Give it a listen. Great music. So, a lot left to talk about. Not a lot of time, only 12 minutes. We are going to expand on our NBA playoff coverage. We talked about the Lakers at the top of the show. So, here's a segment that I call Implayoffcations. It's obviously the implications of the playoffs, in case you didn't get the wordplay there. Starting off, the Miami Heat getting mollywopped by the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that was just an unbelievable game. The Cavs shut him out. And you can tell before the game that that series was over. You had Tyler Hero saying to the media that they needed Jimmy Butler. Like, when you lose that kind of confidence in your own squad, you're just not going to win a playoff game down 3-0. You're just not. So it's embarrassing. And hopefully a moment the Heat front office can look at and say, we need to do better. They've been dancing around trading for a big superstar for years. Could this be the offseason they finally do? Who knows? They've been nervous to trade those core young pieces, but could Tyler Hero be on the move? Could Bam be on the move? Who's to say? They have some picks they can move, but not a lot. It's going to be tough. They have the assets to get a big-time star if they need one, but Pat Riley seems to not have the juice to go get that star. We'll see. Andrew Wiggins didn't really do great. He was fine. But if Miami's going to move out of this seemingly middling territory, they're going to have to take a swing. As for the Cavs, I mean, they just proved they're the one seed for a reason. You sweep the eight seed when you're the one seed. It's what you do. It's what the Thunder did. They, you know, insisted on their dominance, and they were great. I think that they're probably going to beat the Pacers. The Pacers are underrated. Give them credit. They made the conference finals last year. They just beat Milwaukee. I do think the Cavs are going to dispatch of them in six, but the Pacers give them a good fight. Cleveland's a good team. They've had great players all season, great performances. Kenny Atkinson has done a great job. Yeah, as for the Pacers, defeating the Bucks, Giannis is in an interesting spot, and this is clearly the main point of that series, is what's Giannis going to do this offseason? I didn't think he was going to ask out, and I really still don't. My gut says he wants to stay in Milwaukee, play out the contract. He's only got 2 years left before his player option, which is a lot, especially now that he's getting older, into his 30s. But he's such a loyal player, I just don't see asking for a trade to be the kind of thing that he does. However, he should want to. Because now that Dame tore his Achilles, he's going to be out for all of next season. Milwaukee's roster is going to be crippled. And best case scenario, he's just going to be right back here on his own, trying to go on some heroic Herculean playoff run, and he's not going to be able to. So, as much as he loves the Bucks, loves Milwaukee, he has to decide, he has to ask himself, what's really important? Does he want to be a winning player? Does he want to build a legacy and be an all-time great? Or does he want to be the greatest Buck of all time? You know, that's a decision he's going to have to make. As for the Western Conference, well, I guess we can talk about Boston. Nothing really to say there. They cooked the Magic like everyone expected. Congratulations, Celtics. You know, we'll see you based on what happens in the next round. Actually, that series versus, it'll come down to if the Knicks can beat the Pistons in six. Not if the Knicks can beat the Pistons in six. Now that the Knicks beat the Pistons in six, that series is going to be very interesting. Thank you. So, the Knicks are kind of uniquely qualified to take on Boston because they have, I guess, you know, we'll talk about this later. We've got a prediction segment later in the show. I've got more stuff to talk about. The Warriors took command of the series. Playoff Jimmy's back. He was banged up, but now that you've got Jimmy Butler locked in like this, I don't see how the Warriors lose. And Houston was blowing them out. And if Houston was able to keep their foot on the gas, I feel like that they would have a real chance to take down Golden State in Game 6. But it was clear the Warriors took this game lightly. They're going to put all they have into this next one. And when even the bench players started walking down the Pistons starters, that got really concerning. So I think the Warriors close out. I think that they take on Minnesota, and that's going to be a great series. Jamal Murray drops yet another 40-point game. He's just so good, man. I mean, he does everything the Nuggets need him to. He's their closer. He's a great scorer. He complements Jokic so well. That series has been great. I can't wait to see Game 7 tomorrow night. Again, prediction segment at the very end of this show. But I expect Murray to be great again, as he has been consistently in the playoffs. He's one of the best playoff risers we've seen this decade. So, yeah, I mean, this has been a great playoff so far. I wish some of the series were closer. We've seen a couple sweeps, a couple series end in 5, and now a couple series are going to end in 6, only 1 7-game series. But all the games themselves have been really close for the most part. So, very enjoyable. And it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. All right, really quick, some other winners from the draft that I want to highlight. This is winning time. The Baltimore Ravens, Malachi Starks, Mike Green in the second round, some great defenders they're adding, as they always do. Expect that Ravens defense to continue to be elite. And I think that Baltimore is going to be, once again, one of the top contenders in the league. And Starks, I think, could be a superstar. He really does have incredible talent. People were a little concerned about injury stuff, but I think he's just too good. Now that he's in the NFL, he'll have access to better trainers. Speaking of great defensive picks, the Falcons traded back into the first round to pair James Pierce with their other first-round pick, Jalen Walker. Great picks. The Falcons struggled with defense last season, and now you start to get Michael Penix Jr. some more support on the defensive end. Atlanta's trying to compete. The NFC South is not a juggernaut of a division. Expect Atlanta to make some plays and to be better than people expect, especially now that you add more of these defensive pieces. Travis Hunter, huge winner from the draft. He was originally going to be a Brown. Now he's a Jaguar. Jaguars still aren't great, but at least he's not a Cleveland Brown. That's pretty much a death sentence for every career. Drake May, a big winner as well. The Patriots drafted multiple offensive linemen. Will Campbell, you can see the emotion on his face after that pick. He is going to do everything he can to protect Drake May and create a new identity in New England. And then a loser, Deion Sanders. He thought he had more influence. He thought maybe he could become a coach. All of that seems to be much more complicated and much less likely than I think people realize. Deion's influence is not what we expected it to be, and that's apparent by Shador's slide. Some other highlights from the week that we want to point out. Shohei Ohtani ending his slump, hitting a deep home run, and he said it was because his wife picked out his walk-up song where it reminded him of his fatherhood, locked him in, hit a home run. Just an incredible moment. Again, reminding you, sports can be beautiful. A lot of really great stuff, and only more great stuff coming. Here's that prediction segment I promised you. The NBA playoffs continue to roar on. The Golden State Warriors, I expect them to close out the Rockets tonight in Game 6. As I mentioned, they seem to take their foot off the gas quite a bit in Game 5. I expect them to come out full throttle in Game 6. Jimmy Butler, a little more time to recover from that injury. Steph Curry, not going to have back-to-back underwhelming performances. I think the Warriors win it, and then I think they lose a couple games early in the series versus the Timberwolves, because the Timberwolves are going to be rested. And even though they're the 6th seed, they would have home court over the 7-seeded Warriors. So I think the Warriors close out the Rockets, start the series down versus Minnesota, and then they can climb their way back. I do think they can take down the Timberwolves, but we'll have more on that in our next show. Nuggets have Game 7 at home versus the Clippers. See, now that the series has gone 7, the Nuggets have Jokic. They have experience. They have home court. The Clippers are playing at that altitude. Kawhi now has been battling for 7 games. James Harden going to be playing in one of his biggest spots. This is a recipe for disaster for the Clippers. I think the Nuggets win Game 7, and then they go on to take the Thunder, where they're just going to get beaten pretty badly. The Thunder have been waiting for almost a week now to take on the winner of this series after they swept Memphis. And whoever wins Game 7 is just going to be really beat up, and I think the Thunder will take care of them. And then you got Celtics and Knicks. As I started to get into earlier, the Knicks are uniquely capable of guarding Boston because you've got OG Anunoby, you've got McCall Bridges, who are great wing defenders. You can match them up with Tatum and Brown. Karl Anthony Towns is at least as good as Al Horford and Kristaps. Definitely better, but I mean at least as good combined between the two of them. Boston's depth is really great. However, New York has shown, you know, it's the Tom Thibodeau system, that they're able to play without depth because you just play the starters a ton of minutes. I think My heart says pick the Knicks, but my gut and my brain says pick the Celtics. I think it's most likely that Boston does end up winning the series. I think it goes seven. I'm going to take Boston. However, with that being said, if it does go seven, I might change my mind when that time actually comes and it's time to pick the game. It's going to be a very close series. There are a lot of really great games. Disappointed the Lakers are out, but regardless, it's going to be an incredible playoff anyway. The NHL playoffs continue. We'll have more coverage on that next week as well. Didn't get to get too much to it today. And yeah, that's our show. I'm already looking forward to next week. You have been listening to Winning Time with your host, Jack Wynn, on WMUC FM radio out of College Park. I'm already looking forward to next week. We will be with you after this.